Hi, Geekscapists. The Geekscape Podfather, Jonathan, here. In May, we lost one of our own, longtime Geekscapist Christopher Ellis, who was a friend and a part of our geek community from the very beginning. Chris even met his wife, Sarah, through our podcast, and their 2015 wedding seemed like a giant Geekscape party. Chris's final weeks battling in the hospital shed light on a huge national problem. The COVID pandemic has almost completely depleted our national and local blood banks. These supplies are used by thousands of hospitals to provide life-saving treatments to patients or to buy enough time for loved ones just to say goodbye. So for the next month and beyond, we're going to do it big in Chris's memory and do some good in the process. We're throwing a blood drive. Visit www.aabb.org to find a donation center near you or visit other blood and platelet donation centers like the Red Cross. And let's make things interesting. For the next month, take a selfie of yourself donating with the hashtag GeekscapeGives and tag your favorite Geekscape podcast. We'll pick some charitable Geekscapists to send prizes to, and the podcast that gets mentioned the most will also get some cool rewards. I should actually cancel the podcast that gets mentioned the least. Can I do that? Whatever. The point is, go out there and donate some blood, tag a selfie of yourself doing it with the hashtag GeekscapeGives, and get others to do the same. We couldn't save our friend Chris, but we can do a whole lot of good in his name. Geekscape forever!
Welcome to the Xbox Game Passengers Podcast. I'm your host, Derek, and this is the show where each episode, myself and a guest will dissect and discuss a single game that's available on Microsoft's Xbox Game Pass service, which is usually, with some exceptions, chosen for us completely at random. Whether it's a magical or a horrible experience, we'll force ourselves through it, share our thoughts, and let you know whether or not the game is worth your time. At the end of every episode, we'll also be drawing the game for the next show as well, so you always know what's coming up on the next adventure. And it's always me and a guest, and I'm super happy to have Mike back. Mike has joined us for a couple of great episodes. We talked about Hellblade's Newest Sacrifice. We talked about Viva Pinata, which is like still probably one of the my favorite games that I discovered on this show. And it's just such a memorable experience. But how are you today, Mike?
I am so hot.
I agree with you. Funnily enough, I like, if you listen to the last episode, the July episode, I talk about sitting in my underwear in this insanely hot room and dripping with sweat. And here I am today doing the same thing, because it's like almost 40 degrees Celsius in this room, and the show must go on. So thank you for, the whole day I was like, I kind of hope he cancels. But I also hope he doesn't cancel, because I would like to talk to him and I would like to do it. But also, it's going to be very uncomfortable. But here we are, and I'm really glad that we're doing this.
It's going to burn so much.
Yeah. I am like, you know, it's going to be the true test of I'm using a fanless MacBook. So let's see, you know, how
how fanless it really is.
Yeah, let's see how if that actually factors into anything. So it's been rock solid so far, but I can't touch the computer at this point because it hurts my hands. So so we'll see what happens.
Fry an egg on it.
Fry an egg on it. I don't really like eggs. Mm. Yeah, except in certain situations. But
hatch a Pokemon egg,
the good kind of eggs. There, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been, this show disappeared for a long time. So it's been your first opportunity to come back to it. So thank you so much for joining. How has your gaming life been since the last time you've been around?
I mean, it's been quiet. I've just been playing through the endless back catalog that is Xbox Game Pass.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, it's been especially a good time. You know, I feel like new releases have been sparse aside from maybe the last couple of months. So I have done a lot of back cataloging over the past while, and I've had a lot of fun with it. Actually, the last time you were on here, it was pre-Xbox Series launch, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. How, we're 6 months into the new consoles at this point. How has your Xbox Series experience been at this point? Is there anything?
I mean, I enjoyed Cyberpunk. I got to enjoy Cyberpunk.
It was playable for you?
It was playable.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I accepted the bugs. I was just like, oh yeah, this is like early Witcher. It wasn't like,
sure.
It wasn't like, you know.
And I didn't play The Witcher till it was good. So I didn't have anything to compare it to there.
There you go.
Yeah,
yeah, and I know our buddy Evan was talking about how he was playing it, and he's like, yeah, it's totally fine on, and then he was like, maybe it's not totally fine.
And he was sharing videos, yeah, like captures that he had taken, and it would be to the point where he would run into a room and like 30 seconds later, the like textures of the room would actually load. And it was like, this is not like the weird, crazy bugs that you see pop up on YouTube. Like this was like our friends, like day to day playing of this game. And
yeah,
I don't know, what a nightmare. I was so excited for that game. And I am still hopeful that like when the, you know, I mean, on PC, if you have a powerful enough PC, it looks amazing. At least it still feels like a shell of what it should have been. And, you know, are they going to put enough into it that it becomes any semblance of that? Could it be the next No Man's Sky? I don't think so, but I can hope, I can dream.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like CD Projekt Red hasn't really done me dirty. And I just hold out faith that this isn't that time.
Yeah. Yeah. Temporarily dirty.
Yeah.
They could still they could still bring it back.
Yeah. It could be fine. It could be gold.
And it came out and I took a couple days off work and I, you know, it was not worth taking the time off work for, but I finished it pretty quickly and then like put it aside. And I was like, I'm definitely looking forward to another run at some point. And I did a lot of side content, but there had to have been a ton left. But it was one of those things where it was like, once the actual Xbox Series version launches, that is when I would like to go back to it.
Yeah.
And I'm just eagerly awaiting, you know, they still say 2021. You know, they haven't talked much about a lot of stuff for quite some time. So who knows if that actually happens. But, you know, I think that a lot of people are in a similar boat to us where they are willing enough to wait. You know, they waited so long. What's another year?
I mean, and at this point, really, come on, CD Projekt Red. You should have just made that decision yourself and been like, guess what? You know what? No, you know what they should have done? They should have just hired Kojima and been like, see you, it'll be good when it's good. And
I mean, I think he was busy, I don't know, with Death Stranding still, but
whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not anymore.
He's not anymore. Is he secretly working on a Silent Hill game? I hope so, but I don't think so. But you know the rumor mill churns and I eat it up. I eat up everything that's potential with that game. And
om nom 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 nom.
Yeah. Man, I feel like a Cyberpunk episode of the show would be great. I hope it hits Game Pass one day. Maybe that'll redeem it. But we're here to talk about something else. We're here to talk about Perfect Dark, which was drawn on the last episode. I forgot to send you the synopsis, so I'm going to go ahead and read it, if that's okay. And then we'll jump into it. The remaster of the Nintendo 64 classic puts players in the role of Joanna Dark, an agent for the Carrington Institute. In Perfect Dark, players battle across 17 action-packed levels, utilizing a range of high-tech weaponry and gadgets to take down the Datadyne Corporation. Compete with others in the combat simulator or take the fight online in a cooperative mode that lets you take on enemies with a friend. Relive the classic with updated graphics in this high-definition take on Perfect Dark for Xbox 360. This is Perfect Dark, and this is, so, you know, you've been on two episodes before, and we played Viva Pinata, and we played Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice.
Three episodes.
Gears of War Ultimate.
Yeah.
I totally forgot about that. That was a good one too.
Yeah. Classics.
Playing the classics, apparently. Jeez, yeah. Hellblade is the most modern game we played.
Yes.
Every episode I've come and you know, we're now four games that are, you know, universally, both from a player base and critically, just lauded. Just these are some of the best games ever type thing. And going into each of these episodes, you know, we talk about this on each one, like we are often very opposite ends of the spectrum in terms of opinion. Like if I love something, you probably hate it, like very, you know, very outwardly and very excitedly and vice versa. And each of the episodes we came into, I expected that to happen and it did not happen. And I think that this is the episode where it happens because I didn't have an N64. So I never played, I played GoldenEye a couple times at a friend's house. I don't think I ever played Perfect Dark ever. And I realized that I am wrong. Based on the thoughts and feelings of every child that had an N64 and grew up, I realize that I am wrong in this situation, but this I could not stand. Like this is the like I this might be the least fun I have had playing a game on this show, and that includes stuff like Moto, you know, early on playing like MotoGP, like insanely hard, like stupid motorcycle game, and the Hunter Call of the Wild, where we're just roaming around the forest, like scaring deer away for hours and hours. This, I just couldn't grasp it. And I realized that I'm wrong. And what I'm hoping that you could do today is paint me a picture of why this is a good game from someone who has no attachment to it. And from someone who, it just is not a game where you can't play it for the first time in 2021. And it just hasn't aged well, I feel like.
And no, I actually agree with you.
Yo, you agree with me.
I do agree with you.
I didn't expect, I asked you because you were a big fan of this series, right?
Yeah, and I do. Like, honestly, it holds a very special place in my heart.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like you can't really go home in this situation. Like, it's, yeah. You know, as excited as I was, and it was like, as weird as it was to be like, Nintendo 64!
Yeah, yeah. And I, when we jumped into it, I did not realize until I started that it was ever ported to 360. I thought it was the N64 version as a part of Rare Replay. I didn't realize it came out again.
No, yeah, no, it was re-released with, it was kind of re-released as a throwback. I think they were trying to kind of regenerate or reamp Perfect Dark Zero, which
yeah.
was okay. Like, I mean, yeah. it never really reached the same level of love as the original
sure.
Perfect Dark.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, the problem is that first-person shooters have come so far.
Totally.
And, like, to have to give up so much of your control to the system because the controller just couldn't keep up with what you're used to today. Like, there's no, like, even though they ported the controls over and it's yeah. kind of like COD like controls and all that, it's not
well. And to play it on a controller that can handle all of that stuff now, it just feels like handcuffed entirely.
Oh yeah, because you're like stop aiming for the body, auto aim.
Yeah,
I want the headshots. And it's,
but,
like,
yeah that was like something that stuck out instantly, was like the auto aim, I mean, and the holding the left trigger, the left bumper to like manually aim felt so clunky.
Yep.
And, but even like the auto aim just felt like I didn't actually need to do anything because ammo is so prevalent. At least I was playing on normal, so I don't know how different it is on later difficulties, but ammo is so prevalent. It just auto aims for you and you just press the button a few times and kill everybody. Like you didn't have to do anything.
Yeah, I mean, it gets more difficult as you go up in the levels and ammo becomes a little more sparse, but
right.
it never is to the point where, well, I shouldn't say never. Later in the game, it becomes a little more hectic, but like early game and mid game, yeah, your CMP-50s are everywhere.
Yeah.
And I mean, even still, even when you get up to it, taking multiple hits to take down an enemy, it's still not urgent. Yes, you're never really feeling that. And the other thing too is when you go to actually do any kind of precise aiming,
yeah,
it's like all of a sudden that control stick is the most sensitive control
stick. Oh my goodness,
on the planet.
Yes.
It's like,
yeah.
I'm aiming, zoom in. Oh my god, I'm spinning
yeah.
in a circle.
Yeah. Yeah, it was so hard to aim at any of that. I can't believe you, because I like knowing that you like, when is the last time you played Perfect Dark then before this?
I don't think I played the 64 version.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know what it was? Is it's because I played the Duke Nukem version on 360.
Okay.
And that drove me crazy. Like the Duke Nukem port of
yes.
Duke Nukem 64 or
yeah,
whatever
okay.
it was. Yeah. And so I played that and that drove me crazy and I didn't want it to like bastardize Perfect Dark for me.
I see. Okay.
So I kind of left it alone because I knew kind of coming into it that I was going to be annoyed with the controls because
yeah.
I knew they wouldn't port well. you'd have to like rebuild the engine in a really big way in order to get it any kind of modern playable.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just like, I don't know. It's a test. Like, games have changed so much, not just shooters, but I think games as a whole. But I found, like, and not that I need or want my handheld in games, but like I felt like some of the mission objectives, every mission has like two, you know, one to three like levels in it, and you know, a few like goals for each of those levels. And they were just like, each goal is basically like a few words or maybe a sentence type thing. And there's no expanding on that or like talent, you know, there's no like, where in the level is this? Like, you just have to like find it. And it's like, even in like the first level, when it's like, I can't remember what your goal is, but you had to like, you go into this office and there's two people standing there and something I'm supposed to find turns out to be on one of them. And I don't realize that you can like unequip your gun and like punch people, but you got to like punch this lady to like get the key off of her or something like that. And I'm like wandering around this office for like 40 minutes before I realized that, because they just kind of look like, you know, one of them's like a boss and she's not scared. So maybe this is like somebody that works for this company, but the other lady's scared, but they're just in an office. Like, and I don't assume that they are any important to the game at all. And this level's massive and I'm going up and down floors and there's nothing else to do or see. Like, and then I end up shooting this lady and then I failed the mission, like, because I don't realize you can use the slappers or puncher or whatever. Like, I don't know. And it was just stuff like that over and over and over again, you know. And there's another point. It's like, again, very early on, it's like something about using a data uplink. And I don't, at this point, I haven't yet realized that if you know, left bumper or something like that, and there's like a weapon selection and, you know, some of these accessories that you get that are like spy tools that help you get through the missions are part of this as well. But yeah, again, I'm wandering through this entire map. I'm like, there must be a door I've missed somewhere or something like that. But there's a door. Then there's just a door that's there, but I have to go and like use this data uplink thing. And it's just a random door. It looks just like a lot of other doors that I can't open, but this one has like a phone beside it. And you got to use the data uplink on the phone that's beside it to open the door. And I have no interest in doing any of that. And it's making me angry even talking about it.
Yep. And that is a feeling that I had.
I hated it so much.
Well, that is a feeling I had from the N64 version. But the thing about it is that I loved the N64 version for the kind of the same reason why I loved the original Halo. Like, if you can, like, the original Halo is great. Like, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
And it didn't suffer from the same problems in the regards that you're describing.
Yeah.
But the story was by far secondary to the multiplayer.
Sure.
And one of the things that was new is, because the thing about GoldenEye is that you basically had your small kind of levels and you were always set with four friends and that was it. Whereas when you were playing in the multiplayer modes in Perfect Dark, you had AIs that you could add to the game.
Yeah.
So you could actually play four of you against eight AIs if you wanted to.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't realize that.
So there's that sort of thing that is what, to me, like when I was thinking back, I'm like, you know, I don't, like, I know what's going to happen in the campaign.
Yeah.
And it kind of like, so I don't have a ton of motivation to play through the campaign. I'm like, what was it that I really loved about it? And it was exactly that. It was going in and actually like fragging AIs,
mm-hmm.
With friends,
mm-hmm.
was what was really good. And the fact that it was such a leap from GoldenEye to Perfect Dark.
Yeah. Well, and I went back and watched some, like, cause I was like, how different does this look from the N64 version? And I went back and I went on YouTube and like watched some videos from the N64 version, and also watched some GoldenEye videos, thinking that, like, in my head at that point, they didn't look that different. But after watching them, like, it was a substantial improvement.
Yeah.
Like, the text, just the textures and stuff alone was like vastly different.
Yeah, there was a significant improvement. And to be honest with you, it's impressive on its own that even part of that game would run without the expansion pack.
From the videos I watched, it did not run very well, though. The frame rate was very, very rough.
Well, the frame rate was rough regardless, but...
Yeah, yeah. Oh, but you just need like texture size and stuff. Yeah,
yeah,
that's true. Yeah. Yeah, and I guess that's I guess, and how, like, GoldenEye was what, 96 or 97?
Yeah, it was like almost,
and then
the launch
Perfect,
title.
Perfect Dark was like 2000 from what I looked
at.
Yeah, so,
yeah, you've got like the beginning of the Nintendo 64 era and the end of the Nintendo 64.
Yeah, well, and that's always the case, is when you compare like launch games to end of era, like, it's, they're like, I don't know, a lot of times it feels like end of era games look better than launch games on the next generation. So
yeah,
not so much these days, but you know, back then for sure. And even I think going like PS3 to PS4 and stuff like that, it felt like that.
Yeah, well, there's definitive
now. Now the generations just don't launch with any games, so it doesn't matter.
They just blur, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, still today, we don't really have a lot of series exclusive games, and we're 7 months as we record this into the.
Do we have? I don't think there's any series exclusive games.
There was The Medium, which is now going to PS5 as well. And then there was a game called The Falconeer, which did not release on Xbox One. It is on Game Pass, or it was on Game Pass. I don't really know too much about it, but
I didn't realize that
no big games like I guess Medium's like medium. The Medium is like medium big, and it's like a kind of a AA title from oh my gosh, the developer is eluding me at this point. We did an episode on it. I enjoyed it, but it I don't know. It didn't feel like the next gen, you know.
It didn't fulfill that promise for you?
Well, it was just like it was next gen in the sense of like it probably really used the SSD heavily, and I loved the like two worlds being rendered at once thing, but it was yeah, like neat stuff like that I feel like wasn't used quite in the way that I was expecting it to. You know, stuff like I just played through the new Ratchet & Clank on PS5, and it did similar stuff in a much better way, in that like you basically can press a button and you're in a completely different area, and you can kind of do it on the fly in certain points. Whereas this is just like showing you the same level, but with different textures and some differences. Cool, but not, I don't know, not the crazy, not the, like, this is the first Xbox Series exclusive and it's going to be amazing. Like not as wondrous as I was expecting at that point, but
well,
good game though. Good game.
Halo eventually.
Hey, yeah, I mean, that would have been launched. But yeah, that said, if that was a launch title, if that still was a launch title, I don't know if it would have been either, based on, you know, we just saw, just as we record this, not as this releases, but, you know, we just saw a bunch of additional and highly upgraded footage, I would say, at mm-hmm. E3 a couple weeks back. And it looked like, and I've never been a guy that has cared about Halo that much. Like, I played a little bit here and there. Michaela and I have played through the first Halo and a bit of the second Halo, and it's always my goal to get through the whole series before the next one comes out. But like watching that like multiplayer like montage video that they released, it looked mm-hmm. gorgeous, and it looked like there was so much variety, and it looked like old school and just like, I don't know. I don't think slower paced is the word, but a different type of pace than like the battle royales and the Call of Duty and stuff like that you're playing today.
Man, I know we're like so far off topic, but I have to point out that you're saying you've never been into Halo, and I remember with Halo 5, and you were like, "I gotta catch up. I gotta catch up. I gotta know why they're chasing Chief.
Why is he a bad guy? I still don't know. It's not been spoiled. I still." And everyone's like, "Well, it's really disappointing, so don't bother." And I'm like, "Fuck you. Let me make my own mind up."
It's not that disappointing. Screw those people.
But yeah, it's still my 10, and you know, now I just have to get through 5 as well to figure out what happens in Infinite. And so if I get through like one Halo a month for the next little while, I think I'll be able to do it. Yeah. As long as I don't have to do Halo Wars and stuff like that too.
Maybe the stars will align and you'll get like back to back to back Halos.
I mean, that would be great.
There you go.
I doubt it though. The game, there's like the randomizer app that I use to get the games through. There's like more than 350 in them right now, so it's the chances are very, very, very low.
Dare to dream, Derek. Dare to dream.
Yeah.
I guess. Anyways, so Perfect Dark.
Yeah, I just like, I hated it, and I.
Did you hate it more? Would you say that you hated it more or less than Disneyland Adventures?
Oh, Disneyland Adventures was a blast compared to this piece of shit. Like, and I feel so bad saying that because I know how much it means to so many people, and how like the fanfare and how just incredibly excited everyone was when the you know, remake or whatever the next Perfect Dark game was announced. Like, people were blown away that was even a thing, and I just think it's like, it must just be a product of its time thing. And I understand that when it came out, there was nothing like it except for kind of GoldenEye. And you know, it did a lot for shooters. And even you talking about like, you know, the memories of, it wasn't the campaign. It was the like taking on bots with your friends and stuff like that. And, you know, at that point, like, I can't imagine there was much in terms of like cooperative shooters and stuff like that. And I love that stuff now. Like, you know, just anything that you can play cooperatively, like I'll always go for cooperative versus like fighting people, fighting your friends. And even like without the, you know, taking the AI aspect out of it. Like, I remember, you know, we most of my friends were like PlayStation users, and so there wasn't a lot of N64s, you know, in our friend group. But I remember, like, we would play like stuff like Medal of Honor, Finest Hour, or whatever, or Frontline, for, you know, just the multiplayer versus each other for hours and hours and hours. And there's barely any levels, and there's barely any weapons, and it runs like crap, but we had so much fun, you know. And someone's like playing as a raptor for some reason, like all this crazy shit. And but like, had it had like an AI mode, or like a horde mode, or which I don't think was a thing until much later, but stuff like that would have been totally fun. And so and I feel like you're totally right in that those good feelings come not from the product itself, or did it from the product itself at the time, but what you really remember is the memories that you made playing it. And it's hard to make any memories, but except for bad ones, when you're playing this game, you know, 25, 20, 21 years after it came out.
Absolutely. It's, and that's the thing, like, today you've got to, I mean, at least with Game Pass, at least you can get additional people to play with you.
It's true. It's not $60 a pop for everyone.
Which is nice. But I mean, the reality of it is that now it has to lean on that
I feel like though if anyone was like, hey, you have Game Pass, download and let's play Perfect Dark, they probably hate you.
Yeah, probably. Of all the things you could have picked.
With the 350 plus games and how many amazing, you know, we're just talking about the entire Halo series and how great that is. But you're like, let's play Perfect Dark.
I'd rather play Gears of War or Halo, but yeah. But I, you know, that's the thing. Like, this game was the next big, like, as big as GoldenEye was for shooters on console, this game was the next big step. Right, and this is the game. This is where things started to go, kind of. I don't want to say off the rails because that's not right. They kind of started to go a little bit like weird, where you started to bring in sort of Duke Nukem-y, where you started to bring in guns that were not human guns, and
of course,
and like all the alien stuff. Yeah, and that was
Hidden Cheese, though. Did you know about the Hidden Cheese?
No, I did not know about the Hidden Cheese.
It's just literally, it was in a video I was watching about this game, because I was trying to understand why it's a thing. But just randomly in every level, there's just a hidden block of cheese, and it didn't really explain why they were there, but like, they're in pretty hidden places and they don't really mean anything, and you can't collect them or pick them up. They're just there.
Why not?
Yeah.
Well, whatever. Have you seen all the hidden cheeses?
Oh, no. I mean, I saw a couple of them in a video. I'm not playing that game enough for it. No, not a chance.
Come on. You just need a far sight, and then you can just find them yourself. Yeah. You don't have to, like, hidden cheese anything. Just look through the level.
Yeah. There you go. That's true. Yep. Did you play any of the multiplayer? Like in this replay?
No, because I got into the campaign, and I was like, I already hate this.
I played a couple rounds of multiplayer just to get a feel for it, and it, you know, versus bots or whatever. Yep. And I kept dying, and I killed a few guys, and I was surprised to see that it still auto aims just as hard in the multiplayer. So it felt very much like I saw you first type thing. So you died unless you have a better weapon than them. But yeah, a lot of I don't know. It's hard to even talk about because I know, I don't know, I'm stepping on people's memories. I don't want to do that.
But you're not, because this is the remaster.
the 11-year-old remaster of the 21-year-old game. Yeah.
And that's just it. It's like, I feel like the gameplay, honestly, I feel like the game played better on N64 than it does on.
Really?
Yeah. Not presented better, like the frame rates are much better, and
it's like full 60 frames, which I appreciated for sure.
If I could play that game with an N64 controller but have it be this, then that would be like ideal.
Yeah,
but the way that they've kind of screwed around with the controls and that to try to make it more modern shooter style, Like, seriously, why didn't you take, like, I don't know. I, I, I would have much more appreciated this if they were going to remaster it by putting it on like the Perfect Dark Zero engine.
Right. Yeah.
As opposed to, I don't know.
So what was the deal with, like, I remember Perfect Dark Zero coming out and getting like average reviews, and I remember people being really disappointed with it because it was the next Perfect Dark and it was supposed to be, you know, this big amazing thing. Do you remember from that time, like, what didn't people like about Perfect Dark Zero?
I can't really speak to other people. All I can say that I don't know that you would say that it was middling, because IGN gave it 8.4 out of 10, and yeah. Metacritic gives it 81%.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, I think it's just one of those things where it suffered from the success of its predecessor.
Sure.
Like, it was a good game, but the thing about it is like, it wasn't revolutionary then.
Right.
There was
like, it was more of a standard.
You're looking at Perfect Dark and there's already been like three Halos.
Yeah. The pool of shooters is much larger at that point.
Yeah. Perfect Dark Zero should have come out on original Xbox, and there should have been like two more Perfect Darks in that time frame. If you want to talk about it, you know, when you come out with that big of a gap, like, it needs to be a leap over what's current, not just a leap over what you had done previously.
Right.
And I mean, that's just it. It fits in just fine with Call of Duty, and it fits in just fine with Halo and that, but it wasn't anything magical, I don't think.
Sure. And at that point, especially if it was coming out, when did Halo 3 come out?
Oh, Halo 3.
If it was anything near Halo, like Halo 3 was such, like, I remember how big Halo 3 was. And Halo 3 felt like it was so groundbreaking.
It was earlier. So, this was 2005. Halo 3 came out in 2007.
Oh, okay. So a decent chunk of time at that point until Halo 3.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it was, that's the other thing too. Like, the, it was an Xbox 360 exclusive, of course. But it was also like, almost a launch title. I think it was a launch title. So that was the thing. Like, it was kind of like lackluster in terms of, this is a launch title and you have Gears of War.
Yeah. Right.
And it's like, you're looking at these two things and you're like, okay, well, one of these things is much better than the other.
Right. And Gears of War 2 was a game that, like, Gears of War, I feel like, felt so different from so much at that time. And I remember, like, I played a bit of, you know, we talked about this at length in the Gears of War Ultimate episode that we did, but I played like a bit of Gears of War multiplayer here and there because I would like use my dad's Xbox at times, but there would literally be periods that he got so addicted to it, and he was like a pretty casual gamer at best, but got addicted to Gears of War to the point where, like, my mom would work like shifts from like 3 p.m. to 11 p.m. and my dad would be playing Gears of War when she left for work, and he would still be playing Gears of War when she came home from work. You know, they're divorced now, but, you know, I don't know if that had anything to do with it. But like, that for him was crazy, because even when he was like super into Halo and whatever other games he would play, like, it'd be an hour or two tops, and to for him to be playing that like day in, day out for like 8 hours, like, that game was like a revelation.
So their marriage got, what, dom-inated?
Or... just the chainsaw lancer, you know, right? Yep. Right between them.
Yep. So sad.
I really can't believe, like, I'm floored, because, you know, we've known that this day was coming for a while, that we were going to record this, and, like, the whole week to Michaela, I'm like, I am going to just, like, I can't, like, there's no way Mike's going to agree with me, because I know he's a Perfect Dark fan, and I feel so bad, because I know that in this case, usually you're wrong, but in this case, I am definitely wrong in that, in hate, you know, so I can't believe that you feel similar to how I did.
I'm wrong usually? No, I'm usually right, and you're just stubbornly disagreeing.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. That might be, I don't know if that's an argument that's, the podcast is, you know, not long enough to have that argument and have a clear winner, but it would be me, but.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, it was like, as far as like remasters come, they did stuff that, like, I think that even people today aren't doing, like full 60 frames per second, which was so nice. I don't know, yeah. Watching some of those videos of the original one and just seeing like the sub at times 20 frames. I feel like a snob now because I have like a new console and it plays most stuff at 60 frames. And how did I ever play at 30 frames and stuff like that? But
I mean, people complained, but then at the same time, it's like, what did you have to compare it to? It's like, it's still not worse than GoldenEye.
No.
And GoldenEye was still great, but it's like you set off enough explosions and it's going to tank.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been privy to games where we've literally crashed the game. What was that? on the GameCube. What was the Nightfire? 007
oh,
Nightfire?
Yeah,
we once set up so many trip mines and then someone accidentally tripped one and it caused a chain reaction and crashed the game.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, like broke the game. It was one of those things where you're like Minecrafting.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you know, there's a reason that Minecraft is popular. It's because of games like these where you set up trip mines for 6 hours to cause a domino of explosions and kill everyone on the map. But yeah, I think that there was a little too much hate for it back then.
Oh, really?
There's
for Perfect Dark?
Yeah. Like, there was a lot of complaints about the frame rate dropping and in reviews and things like that. And it's like, come on, guys. I mean, really, it's a logical sacrifice that they made.
Well, especially if you can play with four players and you're playing versus eight bots, that's in the year 2000, like, that seems pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an extreme example, but it's really, I mean, and when you think about like all the crap that they're doing with, you know, you have someone who's setting off explosions and someone who's got the far sight and is looking through the map, and someone who's got, there's a lot going on in that game. I mean, by today's standards, you know, if you dropped that low, your game would be crucified automatically, thrown in the scrap heap right next to Cyberpunk. But no, it would just be Cyberpunk. Let's be real here.
Yeah.
There you go. We played Cyberpunk this week.
There was one point where I got stuck under some stairs, and then, you know, this is Perfect Dark, but also Cyberpunk. I got stuck underneath some stairs, and then there was I got under the stairs as easily as crouching and walking. And this was at the time where I did not know that I needed to punch this lady to get her key. So I'm like, maybe I need to go under these stairs. And then I got stood back up and I like glitched into the stairs and had absolutely no way out. And then more dudes came and they eventually killed me. And that, you know, that's how I restarted that. But that was kind of a Cyberpunk moment. Just like Cyberpunk, though, the soundtrack for this game was unreal. I love
it. Yes.
It fucking slaps. Like, it just is like weird. It was like this electronic, like just beats and stuff like that. But I was like, that was one thing that really stood out for me. I was like, this feels like a better soundtrack than most games of this era had.
Yeah, it's funny because it's like that initial, and then it was like instant nostalgia for me. I was like taken back to 2000. I'm like, I'm so much younger now. It's wonderful. I love everything. I'm skipping doing my homework.
My pizza pockets are ready.
Yes. I'm skipping my homework, playing Perfect Dark and eating pizza pockets.
Yeah. Maybe that would have improved the experience if I would have, you know, picked up some pizza pockets.
There you go.
I mean, it couldn't have made it worse.
You can't.
I mean, because that bad, but because pizza pockets make everything better.
Yeah, but you can't get Hawaiian pizza pockets anymore.
I don't know if I ever had a Hawaiian pizza pocket. I love Hawaiian pizza. Like, you know, you could just fill the pocket with pineapple and I would be all for it.
But. Yeah, that was it. It's like so much better than Hawaiian pizza pops. And they got rid of them. And it's just disappointing.
Wait, pizza pockets and pizza pops are different things. I only ever had pizza pops, not pizza pockets.
Oh, well, they still have Hawaiian pizza pops.
Okay, okay.
But pizza pockets are baked, not fried.
I mean, I thought that, aren't they all microwaved?
Yes, but I mean, they're all pre-cooked.
Yeah, okay. Yes. I thought I was a chef at 7.
Well,
popping my pizza pop in the microwave.
I mean, that is basically 7-year-old chef. I mean, right. I've seen some restaurants. I've watched Restaurant Hell. That is some professional chefs. So
That's fair. That's fair. That's yes. All, you know, I was set for a career in a kitchen at that point.
There you go. You could have opened your own restaurant. You could have opened your own Amy's Bakery.
Oh God, not Amy's Bakery. Yeah, I am kind of done with this game forever. I mean, for not forever as in this specific version of Perfect Dark. I will eat up the new one as soon as it comes out, you know, mm-hmm. day one on Game Pass. Can't wait.
Yep.
Is there anything else that you would like to say about Perfect Dark? Any other memories? Any other? I don't know.
No, I mean, if you happen to be listening to this, Jonathan, Josh, you know, back in the day when this first came out, you were my bros. And later
you
on,
you can invite them for a Perfect Dark night. It's on Xbox Game Pass.
Yeah, I don't even know where they are anymore.
Nah, all right.
Search by. But I do know where Ryan is, and Ryan. It's on.
Ryan would eat like Ryan.
Yep.
Oh, he would eat up GoldenEye. He loves old shit.
Oh yeah, no, I borrowed when I didn't have my N64 anymore. Well, I had my N64.
Yeah.
I didn't have Perfect Dark though, and I think I borrowed that from him until his brother got pissed off at me.
Oh no way.
Yeah, it was excellent.
Yeah, I feel like he should speedrun Perfect Dark. It's a bit new for him to speedrun. It's a bit new for his tastes, I think.
It is, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But and so. By a bit I mean a lot, but you know.
By like 21 years.
Yeah, something like yeah.
So 42 years of gaming.
Yeah, yeah, geez. Yeah, with that, again, I'm so disappointed. I'm glad that we felt similar and I didn't, you know, upset you at a very deep core level. You know, I'm thankful for that, but I'm very disappointed that this was not a game that we enjoyed. Again, just because of its history and because of, you know, the way it's talked about still today. And yeah, that said, I'm eagerly awaiting the next one to and I hope that it lives up to everyone's expectations and memories from when they were six and playing Perfect Dark with their friends.
I mean, I think it just comes down to just because a game is important.
Yeah.
Doesn't make it good in today's standards.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, games that are might be great today, but some games that might be great today, you know, 10 years from now, who knows what the gaming sphere is going to look like. And
I mean, come on, man. Pong had a shitty frame rate, but we
didn't care. You know, yeah, yeah, I guess. Yeah. Anyways, I'm going to go ahead and draw for the next episode, if that's the case. We've been doing new thing. I don't know if you've been listening lately, but I actually have started drawing two games and then having the guest choose which of those games that we will play for a couple of reasons. I think it just adds some cool variety to the show. It also means like if, you know, maybe something that you really like pops up and you really want to hear me talk about it, or maybe something that's for sure going to be terrible just from the title pops up and you really hate me, like you kind of have some direction over the next episode of the show. So I'm going to draw two games and you're going to choose one of them.
Oh, I am totally into this.
Whichever is the shittiest one is what you're going to choose. I know. All right, so next episode, we are going to be playing either Need for Speed Heat, fitting for the temperature of my body right now, or the Dark Pictures Anthology Man of Medan.
You know, I want to say Need for Speed Heat, but I feel like the Dark Pictures Anthology sounds more like you.
It does sound like me.
I'm totally going to go with the Dark Pictures.
Dark Pictures?
Anthology.
Cool. I have played part of Man of Medan. Josh Jackson from the Geekscape Games podcast and I think we got review copies and we played an hour or two and then my game glitched out to the point where I could never progress again. He had to finish it without me. So I am looking forward to going back to it. That's actually a really good choice.
There you go. Cool.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Thanks again for joining me. Thank you for revisiting and hopefully not ruining this piece of your childhood.
I can't ruin it. It's a different game.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a different time.
Yep.
You could play it. You know, one day you could play a Perfect Dark of Maddie and she'll be like, why did you ever play this?
Yep. Pretty much. No, I'll make her play it. I don't.
You see all these good games you're playing now. This is what we had to. This is all we had when I was a kid.
Oh no! I'm making her play her way up to current consoles.
Oh, no way.
Yep.
Is she how? Where is she at right now? How? What is she playing?
She's still trying to figure out Zelda, like original Zelda.
Oh yeah, I'm so. Like on the aren't NES. We all?
Yes.
Aren't we all? Cool. Well, I really appreciate it. I'm looking forward to. I mean, this comes out in August, so I'll be weeks from seeing you in person for the first time in what feels like forever. I cannot wait.
Yep.
Yeah, thanks so much for joining us, and I'm sure I would love to have you on again, obviously, if you're open to it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for listening. If you did like this episode, if you do like this show, anything you can do to get us out there, whether that's a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, sharing us with a single friend, anything you can do to get the word out, we really appreciate. We are back the first of every month. There's a new episode of Xbox Game Passengers. And if you like my voice, you can also hear me on the Geekscape Games podcast every other week. That's it for now. That was Perfect Dark. And that was Mike Duddy. Thanks again, Mike.
Not a problem. Thank you.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.